Tomorrow night in Charlottesville, Virginia, an interfaith group of religious leaders will hold a service they're calling Unite the Light. It is, of course, a play on Unite the Right, the white supremacist march in the city exactly 5 years ago. It set off deadly violence that led to the death of a counter-protester.
You will not replace us! You will not replace us!
Chanting anti-Semitic slogans, the marchers walk right past the city's only synagogue, Congregation Beth Israel. So, 5 years on, how is the Jewish community in Charlottesville faring? Did the events of 5 years ago change them and prompt them to ask new questions about themselves and their city? Here and Now producer James Mastromarino and I went down to Charlottesville with these questions.
I grew up as a child watching these old black and white newsreels, you know, of the rise of Hitler and of the Nazi Party, and they were always in black and white.
That's Rabbi Tom Goodhertz of Congregation Beth Israel. As he talks, it becomes clear the Jewish community here is still processing the searing events of August 2017.
You know, they always had this sense of being sort of history and far away. And yet to see and to hear and to be face to face, right, with this kind of hatred and to have it screamed at you and to see it march by proudly was really quite shocking.
Congregation member Diane Hillman takes herself back to August 12th, Saturday, the day of the Unite the Right rally.
I was at the synagogue at our Saturday morning Shabbat service, and at the end of it, our president, Alan Zimmerman, suggested that because it was quite violent already out in the streets, well before the time when the rally was supposed to begin, that we go out the side door and not go near the front street, which is where there was a lot of activity. I was usher and went out on our steps a number of times and watched the groups march by and scream profanities and anti-Semitic slurs at the synagogue. A block away, Confederate flags marching down the street. Those images have stuck with me and probably will always be with me.
To be clear, the white nationalists 5 years ago largely came from outside Charlottesville. But as I speak with members of Beth Israel, I get a sense of reawakening, that the trauma is prompting many in this town to take a fresh look at its past and the blind spots they may have had. We stop by the local Albemarle County Historical Society. It's a classic southern building, giant white pillars in front. It's smack in the middle of Charlottesville, overlooking the park where a statue of Robert E. Lee stood for a century. The removal of that statue prompted the Unite the Right march 5 years ago.
Hi, Dr. Leffler. How are you?
Hi.
Scott Tong.
Hi, Scott.
Nice to meet you.
Historian Phyllis Leffler is president of the society and a member of Beth Israel. She says the fancy building we're in is an example of how Charlottesville, like most southern cities, has a complicated racial past.
This is called, that we are sitting in, is called the McIntyre Building because this was the site of Charlottesville's first public library.
Philanthropist Paul Goodloe McIntyre donated the money for this building in the 1920s, but also for the Lee statue.
So what do you do with Paul Goodloe McIntyre? You know, it's the question that's being asked about lots of people, right, who were segregationists, who probably carried a lot of internal racism, but also did generous and good things for the city.
We talk at a big table, surrounded by boxes of historical papers and photos. To Leffler, they tell a mixed story of Charlottesville and of anti-Semitism.
I think Charlottesville has always been seen as a place of religious toleration, in part because of Thomas Jefferson and his statute on religious tolerance.
She's talking about a document Thomas Jefferson wrote. It states, "No man shall be compelled to support any religious worship, place, or ministry." Jefferson's home, Monticello, overlooked Charlottesville, where for a long time, Jews were a minority, mostly under the radar.
The long-term Jewish history of Charlottesville is one in which when Jews were perceived as white and did not rock the boat, they were fully incorporated into the life of the city. When Jews did rock the boat or take contrary views, they were less welcomed.
Notably less welcome in the early 20th century, when the Ku Klux Klan in Charlottesville spewed their hate toward both African Americans and Jews.
You could go back to the 1920s and look at the Klan rallies that were held in this city and the efforts to encourage people to join the Klan. And you could look at the notices that were posted around town in which they said, if you are white and Christian, we welcome your membership. No foreigners allowed. Well, what does that say? I mean, Jews were mostly immigrants to this country. So if you say that in a public pronouncement that was plastered all over the city, Jews understood that they were not welcome.
Fast forward nearly 100 years, and the sentiment returns with the Unite the Right rally. And Charlottesville's Jewish community is reminded again of its vulnerability.
Jews will not replace us!
One of the things that was captured was a chant that was going on in which these white supremacists were shouting into the ovens, which is something that is not generally known. So the reference to the Holocaust was front and center.
After the rally, Phyllis Leffler started recording interviews with members of the Beth Israel Synagogue. Henry Abraham survived the Holocaust, only to relive something that felt horrifically familiar.
I said to myself, what am I doing here? Am I going through this again? And I just, you know, I think I'm going to cry. To do this twice in this town I've loved.
Whereas for Gerald Donowitz, the feeling after the Unite the Right rally was entirely new.
I thought that was, Nazism was dead. I thought anti-Semitism was dead. And it wasn't. It was like, holy God. I was really wrong. There's a group, a large group, that thinks that Jews need to be somewhere else.
5 years on, the events of 2017 are more than a reminder. They're a prompt for a new set of questions.
The Unite the Right rally became a kind of trigger to look more deeply into the whole notion of white supremacy and what that means for this community. I like to say that white supremacy is a very large umbrella. And under that umbrella exists racism, anti-Semitism, right? Anti-Asian views, anti-Muslim views. I mean, all of the others. If we are going to move forward, we need to see this as a common struggle. I don't know if we're winning that struggle right now. It feels like a very, very dark time to me.
To Leffler, the 2017 rally preceded later expressions of white supremacy, including the events of January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. The idea of common struggle between Jews and racial minorities has Congregation Beth Israel now enhancing its work against white hate. Again, Rabbi Goodhertz.
And if you ask me the question, has that kind of thinking spread? Has it gone away? Has it been refuted? Has it been shown to be, you know, ridiculous? The answer, of course, would be no.
He's working with an interfaith group of religious leaders in Charlottesville to promote dialogue. And their special service tomorrow night is Unite the Light. It is meant not only to uplift, but to ask uncomfortable questions about what Jews in Charlottesville have failed to see.
One of the things that happened immediately after the Unite the Right rally was the city wanted to say, put out the message, hey, you know, this is Charlottesville. We're a nice, quiet university town. These people all came from out of here. This is not us, right? And boy, you know, our African-American colleagues said, well, hang on a minute. You know, you may never have seen this hatred walking in the street. You may never have heard this violence or encountered it yourself, but we sure have.
And in that message, that historical reckoning, lies a challenge to the Jewish community. Should they see themselves as privileged or as vulnerable?
Both of those are true. Both of those are aspects of my life and my experience. And I think to hold both in the same hand and to be sensitive about when we are telling our story and when we are listening to other stories, I think that's, we are kind of learning to think about things that way.
And going forward, it will take more than thinking, but taking on stark and sometimes measurable racial inequities in Charlottesville. For the longest time, this was barely discussed, says Beth Israel member Diane Hillman.
Where do kids go to school? How equal are the schools, really? Where do people live? How many trees are in the neighborhoods that are a little bit less affluent? How do we live as a city physically? How do we get around? And there are huge differences across the city that are being exposed in a way they never were before. We never talked about them before.
Hillman says progress so far has been really slow.
But I'm starting to see glimmers of awareness that we are not what we thought we are. It could take 10 or 20 years. It probably will. But at least we're not hiding from it anymore.
Or, in some cases, no longer hiding from their own Jewish identity, which for years in Charlottesville was easy to do. We leave the last word to Gerald Donowitz, the member of Beth Israel who was interviewed for the Oral History Project.
If people are going to hate me and want to kill me and want to replace me because I'm Jewish, maybe I should be a little more Jewish.